This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
I have a very simple message today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness, for your kindness towards us, Lord. We thank you that we can turn to you in prayer. Lord, that you have enabled us to come to you. You have made yourself one who is available when we turn to you in prayer. But I pray that you will teach us and encourage us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about the genesis of prayer. And I say that because in the Word of God, where are the first mentions of praying? What are the basic things about prayer? And I think that if you look in the Word of God and try to find out when the first mentions or instances of people that pray are, I think it teaches us a lot about prayer, because I think God put that in the beginning, in the Word of God here, in the first book, to teach us something. So I'm going to talk about the instances of prayer that are mentioned in Genesis. Which are the first instances of prayer mentioned in the Word of God at all? And then see what we learn from it. What did the people pray about? And how did they pray? That tells us something about the ABC of prayer and of how to turn to God. So number one is in Genesis chapter 20. And I'm not going to read the whole story. You can the whole story is mentioned in Genesis, the whole chapter 20. Basically, what happens here is that Abraham goes into Abraham goes into a land, and where he's there, Abimelech, the ruler, the king, sees Abraham's wife and he wants her and he takes her, because Abraham has been saying she's my sister, because he was saying that if people know that you are my wife, since you're so pretty, if people know that you're my wife, they'll take you and then they will kill me. And then he says, so tell them that you're my sister. So Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. It says there in verse 2. And so he takes her, knowing that she's Abraham's sister, that he wasn't doing anything wrong. And then at night, God comes to him and he says to him that you are as good as dead. Don't touch that wife. She belongs to someone else. Don't have any sexual contact with her. She belongs to someone else, to a prophet. And the Bible says that God actually struck all the people, all the woman in Abimelech's house, and he brought judgment. And then God told him that. Tell Abraham to pray for you. and then I'll take away the judgment, essentially, is what he tells him. And in verse 17, he says, Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and the slave girls, so they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every home, every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. This is the first instance of somebody praying. And it was a prayer for God to lift judgment on someone else. It was prayer for mercy on another person. It was prayer that the wrath of God will turn away from someone who had done something wrong and was about to go even further in doing the wrong thing. Now, Abimelech did not know. He did not know that he was doing something wrong. However, that did not spare him from the fact that God believed it was something wrong. And God warned him. And this is often what happens when you're about to do something that's not right. God will warn you. And then, if you respond in the correct manner, then God will make a way out. But I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about the prayer of Abraham. It was a prayer for healing, a prayer for God's judgment and wrath to turn away from someone else. I believe that this says something. It says something to me that this is the first instance of prayer in the Bible. Prayer is a tool that God has given us to pray for His mercy, to triumph over judgment, to pray, to intercede for people, that the wrath of God that is coming and is about to come upon them will be turned away, and that those people will turn to God. Is there somebody, and now, interestingly, Abraham here was the person who was being wronged. Now, we must acknowledge this was partly Abraham's fault. He's the one who went around saying it was his sister. And also, by the way, God didn't intend for him to be in that place. God didn't intend for him to be there. When he was living in the land where God wanted him to be, he never had a problem with his wife being beautiful. But now that he went to this place, people started looking at his wife and wanted her. And he had to say she was his sister. But in any case, he, the person who was being wronged, prayed for the judgment to be lifted on Abimelech. Is there anyone who's wronged you? Is there anyone who's done something wrong to you? Is there anyone who's doing something wrong to you and about to do even more wrong to you? Pray for them. Pray for the judgment of God to be taken from their life. Pray that God will turn them away from that wrong. We live in a city right now that does a lot of wrong things, and the wrath of God is coming upon this city, upon the nation, and upon the whole world. And eventually, the judgment of God will be unleashed in an unprecedented way over the whole world in what the Bible calls the great and terrible day of the Lord. But before then, let's pray for people. Let's pray that God will have mercy on our city, that instead of judgment, He'll bring mercy, that people will turn to Him and be saved. That's the first instance. The second one that you see in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 24. That's also a long story. I'm not going to read everything there. But it's very simple. Abraham sent a servant to go look for a wife for his son Isaac. Because Abraham said to his servant, I do not want my son to marry any of the Canaanite women who live around me. That's a picture of saying that a believer can never marry an unbeliever. He had to go find someone who could partake with him in the promises of God, who together with him would inherit the blessing of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob. Those Canaanites were people that Abraham's descendants were going to conquer. And you cannot go and marry those you're supposed to conquer. in spiritual terms. They were represented people who had turned away from God. They represented people who would never, who had sinned so much. They would never ever turn from God again. They were doomed to destruction. And Abraham said to his servant, go look for a wife for my son. And so he sends this servant, and the servant goes there. And what do you do? How do you go about in a foreign land, and you're sent to this place, and you're told, go look for a woman. There are many girls there. Which one do you know? How do you pick the right one? The one who will never divorce him. The one who will be loyal. The one who will be a blessing to him. The one who he will be a blessing to. There's no way he could know that. There's no way he could guess that. There's no way he could analyze that. And what did he, what did he do? He prayed. The Bible says in verse 12. Then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the town's people are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she said, drink, and I'll water your camel too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well and to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the men watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. And we know what happens later. Indeed, his journey was successful. This man prayed. And what does this teach us? We turn to God in prayer for direction. When we don't know the way, when you're faced with a situation where you don't know what to do, what's the way out, what's the proper course of action? Pray. And literally, it may be that you need a partner, you need a life partner, and you look around and all you see is Canaanites. And you say to yourself, well, where would I find someone? You pray. And it's also interesting here that it did not take long for God to answer. He answered the man, and he prayed. He asked God for a sign. God heard and God answered. We pray for God. We pray to God for direction. The problem today is that we think we know the answer. When we're facing a problem like this, we analyze, we follow our thoughts, or we follow our feelings, or we follow what our eyes can see, or what our ears hear, and we go astray. This person prayed for direction, and God heard him. The next story that the Bible tells us is that of Isaac. It's also in Genesis chapter 25. Isaac prays. The Bible says in chapter 25, verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife became pregnant. The third instance of praying that the Bible gives here is prayer for physical healing. Prayer for healing. And in particular, healing from barrenness. She was married and she could not have any children. And Isaac went and prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. And the Bible says God answered him, his prayer. She became pregnant, and not just any kind of pregnancy, she became pregnant with twins. And I think there are two meanings here. One is that God wants us to turn to Him when we are sick, when we're physically sick. God wants us to turn to Him and pray. Don't say, well, the doctors can't do anything. Don't say the doctors can't do anything and there's nothing to do. A few weeks ago, I was teaching here about healing. And it's a message we recorded, I hope. And I said that don't accept just every disease you have and say that that's the way I have. And I specifically said, if every Tuesday you feel pain on your left shoulder, next Tuesday don't say, oh yes, I guess this is Tuesday, I'm going to feel pain on my left shoulder again. And there was a woman here who regularly feels pain on her left shoulder. And we prayed for her. She asked for prayer that day, and we prayed for her. I spoke with her 2 days ago. And I asked her, how's your shoulder been? She said, since that day, I've not had it. God heals people if we believe, if we take God seriously. We pray, we believe God. God answers. I share that so that it will stir your faith. That when you're sick, turn to God. Pray. He has given us prayer for that. Don't say that's selfish. Don't say I'm going to live with this. Yeah, pray. Like I said that day, if you pray and God says to you, no, I will not heal you, pray again. If He says, no, I will not heal you, pray a third time. If He says, no, I will not heal you a third time, okay, then you can say, all right. Then give me grace to live with my disease. And that's why Paul said he prayed three times, the Bible says. I'm sure the first time God gave him the same answer, but he prayed again. And God gave him the same answer. He prayed again. We don't know exactly what was going on with him. We don't know. But it's whatever thing it was a very unpleasant thing that he didn't want in his life anymore. And three times he prayed, and the Lord told him, "That's no, I will not." But until you get an answer like that from God, believe God for healing. And the other thing I believe that this means, because it was not any disease, it had to do with fruitfulness, and not just fruitfulness. It had to do with being able to bear children. Because that was critical in the accomplishment of God's promise to Isaac, to Abraham. God promised Abraham that he will have a son. Through that son, he will have descendant who will possess the land and who will be God's people. And so, there is this thing, you often see this in the Bible, that barrenness was a serious problem in those days. And it's counted, Isaac's mother had the same problem. I think this is to tell us that if we have spiritual barrenness, if we can win the lost, if we can bear fruit, we ought to turn to God. We have to turn to God for fruitfulness, in particular for healing from spiritual barrenness that prevents us from having the promises of God to us fulfilled. The last one is in Genesis 30, 32. From verse 9. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendant like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. He prayed. This is the. I'm also not going to read the whole chapter. You know the story. He had cheated his brother. This was also a situation that was caused because of Jacob's own fault. He had lied and cheated his brother and had ran away from his brother. And after many years, he came back. And he had now his wife, his children, his family with him. And he was afraid that Esau, his brother, was going to come down with a vengeance on him and kill him and his children and his family. And so he prayed, he supplicated, he pleaded with God. God, protect me and my family. Save me from the hand of my brother Esau. He prayed for protection. He prayed that he and his family would not be hurt. He prayed in a time of fear, that he and his family would not be hurt. The other thing that God wants us to know and to learn in this genesis of prayer is that God wants us to pray for protection. It is fine to pray that you and your family will not be harmed. Now, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. It might have been your fault, like it was Jacob's fault. God didn't say, no, I will not protect you because it was your fault. He prayed, and God answered him. Nothing happened to his children. He was safe. They were safe. And I think that these four things, prayer for mercy instead of judgment, prayer for direction for our lives on practical issues, especially things like marriage, job, career, and so on. Prayer for healing for our bodies and our spirit and our souls. Prayer for God's protection and favor are things that God wants us to remember. They are not selfish prayers. They are good prayers. And I have a sense that for some reason these are not the things we pray for. I have a sense that these are not the things that we pray about. I have a sense that we tend to pray for very super spiritual things, when God wants us to pray this basic prayer. Now, I'm going to mention just a few things that you see that is common, that seems to be common to all these people who prayed. In each case, it was more there was an element that the folks who were praying for someone else. In Abraham's case, he prayed for Abimelech and his household. In the case of in the case of Isaac, he prayed for his wife. that God will heal her. In the case of Abraham's servant, he prayed that God will lead him to find a wife for his master, Abraham's son. He really wasn't the person who was looking for someone for himself. He was for someone else. And here, Jacob is praying not just for himself, but it's clear through this prayer that his real concern is for his family. It was for other people that they pray. Prayer is a tool that God has given us to bless other people. There are things that not all of us can do for others. You may not be able to give everyone money. You may not have enough money to give to others. You may not have knowledge to give to others. But one thing that you can always do, that all of us can do, is to pray for others. And I'll ask you, how much time do you spend praying for the people here? Praying for their needs, praying for their family. Praying for their needs, praying for their family. Are you so engrossed with your own needs that you don't think about the needs of others? It is part of the way to learn not to be to be selfish. For us is to start by our prayer lives, praying for others. If you have a problem, think of other people who may have a similar problem. Think of someone here in the church who may have a similar problem. When you pray for yourself, pray for them also. The other thing I want to mention about these things that's common to all these prayers, they were simple. They were short. They did not pray for a long time. Not everything requires an all-night prayer meeting. We've put it in our minds that unless if we spent hours and hours and hours and hours, God is not going to hear us. Now, there are times when you do spend a night. And there is an account here later where Jacob spends the night struggling with a heavenly man for the whole night. But these prayers were short. Look at that. For Isaac, it doesn't even tell us how long he prayed. It just says that he prayed and God answered him. Look at that servant. He said, God, give me direction. And God answered. There's also something else about this, is that God answered so quickly. It did not take long for God to heal Sarah of her barrenness. It did not take, to heal Rebecca of her barrenness. It did not take long. Sometimes it takes long, but it doesn't have to. We've also put it in our minds that if we pray, God is going to take years and years and years to answer us. Those are all ideas from the devil to keep us from praying. These prayers were simple. They were straight to the point. They were made on behalf of other people. God answered them. The last thing I want to mention is, you look at the people who prayed. They were regular people. They were not supermen. They were people with lots of faults. Look at Abraham. Who goes around telling people, my wife is my sister? Even if it might be true that you have some blood relation, who goes and does that? Who puts his wife in a situation where she can be taken to another man while he is still alive? These were people with weaknesses. Abraham, later on, went with Hagar and had a child that God didn't want him to have. Look at Jacob. He's the worst of all of them. He stole his brother's blessing. He was a cheat. He was impulsive. He made decisions without thinking. But he prayed, God answered him. Look at Isaac. He also said that his wife was his sister, just like his dad had. He prayed and God answered him. The other lie of Satan is that you have to be a perfect person and then you'll pray God will answer you. That is not true. In the Bible, God answered even the prayers of some unbelievers. God wants honesty and truth in our hearts. He wants us to come to Him with simplicity and pray. Amen.